Today we continue our series on faith, and we'll be wrapping this series up at the end of the month, but today we continue, and the title of the sermon today is Fearless Faith. In a world filled with fear of disease, economic instability, persecution, and even death, it's sometimes easy to forget that we are children of the Most High God. We often ask, where is God when the fire gets hot? When the lions growl, when our very lives seem to be in the balance. But church, let me be clear, the Bible is very clear. It tells us that God is always with us, amen? Before we even cry out, He has already promised His presence. Not from a distance, not in theory, but in power, in presence, and in purpose. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2 tells us this, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. And today we're going to look at Daniel. He was a man who faced all of these fears head on. And not only did he survive, but he triumphed. And you might ask yourself, why? Well, it's because that Daniel had a fearless faith. Amen? His faith was anchored in the unchanging and ever-present God. So today, I want you to let this truth resonate in your heart. When faith stands firm, fear falls away. Let's say that one more time. When faith stands firm, fear falls away. Church, we serve a mighty and sovereign God. And God, He is never shaken by the events in our world, and He is not limited by the threats that we face. Amen? He alone can keep us safe in times of danger, despair, and uncertainty. When our strength fails, His is just beginning. So when we walk through the fires of life's fiercest trials, He is always there beside us. Never watching from afar, but walking with us and shielding us. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 reminds us, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you, and He will not leave you nor forsake you. Oh, hallelujah, amen, and praise God. When we stand on the threshold of judgment, be it from people, from courts, or from conscience, God is there advocating for us with grace. When the handwriting is on the wall, when the warnings of judgment come, God is present offering wisdom to interpret those events. When we face persecution, not for wrongdoing, but because of jealousy or hatred of others, God is our vindicator and our fortress. When we're thrown into the lion's den of betrayal, injustice, and public shame, God is there muzzling the lions and staying the hand of destruction. Psalm chapter 46, verse 1 and 2a states this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Amen? Church, fear has no rightful place in the life of a child of God. It may knock, but it doesn't get to move in. We're called to trust in God at all times, with all things, and for all outcomes. Amen? When trouble comes, and trouble will come, we're not to rely on our limited abilities, but on His unlimited strength. So no matter the circumstances, the conflict, or the crisis, if your trust is anchored in the Lord, then He has promised to walk beside you every step of the way. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm chapter 23, verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So here's a soul-searching question for you this morning. Do you truly believe that God is with you? Not just on Sundays, but on Mondays, in hospitals, in courtrooms, and in silence, in sorrows, in storms. I do. I believe that God is always with me, even if I can't feel His presence. Amen? After all, we do have Jesus' promise that He will be with us to the very end. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20b states, Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And I love when Jesus says amen, because it means it will be. And His presence brings peace that surpasses understanding. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so like David, when he wrote Psalm 23, we can find deep comfort in the care of our good shepherd. Because He knows the terrain, He walks ahead of us. And as we follow Him, He will walk us through both green pastures and dark valleys. Some will test us and some will break us, but in all of it, we will grow. And nothing, absolutely nothing that happens takes our shepherd by surprise. He sees the beginning to the end. Therefore, the closer that we walk with Him, the more secure we are. And the more His peace and not panic will rule our hearts. So today we're going to turn to one of the most iconic demonstrations of fearless faith in the Scripture, and that is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. You see, Daniel, he was no stranger to adversity. He was taken captive in his youth, and he was exiled from his home, and he was made to serve in a foreign land. But through everything that happened in Daniel's life, he remained faithful. So after the death of King Belshazzar, King Darius assumed control over the kingdom of Babylon. And he immediately organized the kingdom into 120 provinces, each overseen by a satrap or a provincial official. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I truly hope that you do, turn with me now to Daniel chapter 6, and when you get there, shout amen. That was quick. All right, Daniel chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 1. It states, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So King Darius, this man, he had discernment. He recognized something special in Daniel, not just talent, but integrity, not just intellect, but character. And unlike Belshazzar, he who dismissed Daniel, Darius honored him and placed him over the entire realm. Therefore, Daniel was just the man that the king needed to help with the governing of his kingdom. So over the 120 provinces, Darius appointed 120 princes. And over these princes, he appointed three presidents. And over them, he appointed Daniel. So Daniel became what you might call the prime minister of Babylon, second only to the king himself. By now, Daniel was in his 90s, a point where men usually slow down and enjoy retirement. So the lesson that we find here is that God is not limited by your age or stage of life. Amen? I'm going to try that one again. God is not limited by your age or stage of life. Amen? See, you're never too young to begin serving the Lord, and you are never too old to continue serving the Lord. God's call transcends every age and stage of life. Psalm chapter 92, verse 13 and 14 tell us this, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit, Catch that? They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. So our young people this morning, your campus, your classroom, and your career paths are all platforms for your ministry. And seniors, your retirement is not from purpose. It's a transition into that full-time kingdom work. And then when God decides to call us home, whether by the rapture or through the embrace of death, then you get to retire, but then there's work for us to do in heaven. So we don't ever really retire. So let your wisdom lead, your experience guide, and your faith inspire. Our folks need to be like that 80-year-old optimist. He got married, and then he bought a 4-bedroom house close to the elementary school. Church, we have work to do. So don't allow your age, your fear, or doubt to be an excuse in the eyes of the Lord. Amen? So back to our story. So Daniel's excellence and favor with the king has started to stir up envy. Those who served with him couldn't stand his success. They weren't looking for justice. They were looking a way to keep their power. So Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. See, these leaders who opposed Daniel for many reasons, first it was because of envy, but the main concern was financial. With Daniel in charge, they knew that they wouldn't be able to use their positions for financial gain. They also resented such an older man ruling over them. And the fact that he was an exiled Jew didn't help the matter either. So these men, they hired investigators and they combed through the records. They searched for corruption, scandal, or failure. But as hard as the National Enquirer or the Daily Globe looked, they couldn't find any dirt on Daniel. No faults, no guilty secrets, only that he was faithful to his God. How many of us here today could face that same scrutiny? What if somebody examined your life today? Your internet history, your conversations, your spending, your private moments, what would they find? Church, our lives should always reflect the holiness of the one who has called us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16 tells us, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" So we see Daniel's life, it demonstrated what holiness in action truly looks like through his fearless faith. Daniel chapter 6, verse 5. "Then these men said, 'We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God.'" So Daniel, he was known as a man who loved the Lord, and he had a reputation of being a man of prayer. And since these conniving officers, they knew they could never get Daniel caught doing something illegal, they decided that they would make his religious practices illegal instead. These men, they wanted to overthrow him and knew that Daniel went to his room and prayed 3 times each day, morning, noon, and night. It was the only thing that they found that they thought they could use against him. And so since they could find no fault in Daniel, they decided to work on the weakness of King Darius. Church, it's important for us to understand that these men, when they started to attack Daniel, they were asking for God's judgment. And our God, our Lord, is not blind to injustice. Isaiah 54:17 assures us, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." So while Daniel remained faithful, the enemy moved deceptively. But as Isaiah reminds us, no weapon formed against the righteous will succeed. Not because the weapon isn't real, but because God Himself stands in defense of His servants. Amen? Daniel chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now all didn't include Daniel because he wasn't brought into these conversations. And I find it interesting that there was already a den of lions ready as part of the deterrent for troublemakers. Picking up in verse 8. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. King Darius, he was a brilliant man and he knew it. He was an excellent administrator, and he knew that too. He was puffed up with pride, and so he became an easy target for their scheme. Daniel's enemy said, let's get King Darius to sign a decree outlawing prayer. And when a decree was signed into law of the Medes and Persians, it could not be changed, not even by the king himself. So the law that he signed and said that no one could make any request except from him for the next 30 days. King Darius, God for a month. Oh, he liked the sound of that. It appealed to his sense of pride. And he had taken the bait, hook, line, and sinker. Think of the implications. For 30 days, no one could ask Almighty God to be healed. For 30 days, no person could cry out to God for forgiveness. For 30 days, no prayers could be made at all to anyone except the king as proclaimed by this royal decree. Now it appears that Darius, he loved and he appreciated Daniel, but his actions have now put his friend in danger. A subtle seed of pride took root in the king's heart. And he signed that decree. And just like that, prayer to anyone except the king became illegal. Daniel knew, he understood the law, but his allegiance was to a higher throne. So Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open to Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. If Daniel had not been a man of faith and courage, he could have found an excuse not to pray for 30 days. Or he could have just closed the windows and prayed silently. He could have left the city and prayed out in the wilderness. But Daniel, he didn't panic. He did what he always had done. He prayed morning, noon, and night. He had lived for the Lord his whole life, and so he trusted the Lord to watch over and to keep him. So in defiance of the king's decree and out of faithfulness to his heavenly Father, he goes into his room and he begins to pray. He assumes a posture of humility. He gets down on his knees and he gives thanks. See, courage is not the absence of fear. It is the presence of conviction. Daniel knelt down not in weakness, but in worship. The fear of man fades when the fear of God prevails. Amen. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. So, church, when trouble knocks, don't run from God, run to Him. Daniel chapter 6, verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Obviously, Daniel was praying out loud, and he didn't change the way that he prayed because of the threat of death. So his foes, they waited just outside the window so they could hear what he was going to do. They caught him praying just like they knew they would. And then they rushed to the king with their gotcha moment. We can almost picture their glee as they run to the king thinking, "We caught him! We caught him!" Verse 12. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. "Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." So they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard to you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. As soon as those men caught Daniel, they ran straight to the king to tattle on him. The trap had been sprung, and now the king, bound by law, he had to act. These men, they confronted the king with his own decree. They said, "That Daniel is still praying to God morning, noon, and night." They said, "He has ignored your decree and he is breaking the law." "And now you know what you have to do, O king. You have to throw your right-hand man, Daniel, into the lion's den." It's so interesting that so many individuals join together to do evil, and there's no indication that anyone dared to speak out against their actions. Verse 14. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed." King Darius, he now knows that he has been set up. And he's mad at himself. So he called in all his royal attorneys trying to find a loophole that could set Daniel free. But Daniel's accusers held the king to his word. There would be no pardon for Daniel. Verse 16. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." See, Darius, he was conflicted. He respected Daniel, but he had been trapped by his own pride. And so with deep sorrow, he sentenced his most faithful servant to death. And Daniel, who had power with God and with man, and who had prevailed through 70 years of captivity and many different kings, is now brought to trial purely for praying to God. Daniel was treated as if he was one of the most vilest troublemakers, a low-life scoundrel and a villain. And his punishment was to be thrown into the den of lions to be devoured by them. But here we can see a difference between Nebuchadnezzar and Darius. Nebuchadnezzar had said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "Who is this God who can deliver you from me?" Darius said, "I believe your God will deliver you." In this moment of Daniel's life, we see a picture of Christ, who, like Daniel, was sentenced to death even though he was guilty of no crimes by a ruler who tried to avoid the situation. And the comparisons between Daniel and Christ, they continue in verse 17. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lord, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Just to make sure that no one would interfere with the lion's dinner, the stone was placed at the covering of the den. It is then sealed with the king's seal. But his lords didn't trust him, so they sealed it with theirs as well. And in like manner, when Christ was buried, his adversary sealed the stone that was rolled in front of his tomb. So Daniel is now thrown into the lion's den. And after it is sealed, the king now goes back to his palace. Now lions, they hunt at night and they usually make very quick work of their prey. A few years ago, there was a young lady who worked with lions at Busch Gardens in Florida. And she was showing her parents around backstage of how she could reach in and pet the lions. The only problem was on this occasion that she had been handling raw meat. And as soon as she put her arm in the cage, the lion bit it off quick. And that's what Daniel's enemies hoped would happen to him. Verse 18. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. The king, he is miserable. And so it's going to be a long night. He couldn't eat, he couldn't sleep, and he didn't want to hear any music. His conscience was louder than his musicians. And so the hours of that night tick by very slowly. And as the sun began to rise, the king, he then sprang into action. Verse 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" The next morning, as soon as the light began to break, the king, he rushed to the lion's den, afraid that all he would hear are the roars of the lions waiting for their breakfast. So grieving in his heart and fearing the worst, he calls out to Daniel. He cried, "Daniel, has your God saved you?" See, church, even pagans know deliverance is a mark of the living God. Psalm 34:19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Where Daniel's faith was strong in the Lord, the king's faith was weak and wavering. Daniel chapter 6, verse 21. Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God has sent an angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." From down in the depths of the lion's den, the king now hears Daniel's reply. He said, "King, don't worry. Be happy." He said, "The Lord sent down his best lion-taming angel, and I'm fine. In fact, old Leo here made a great pillow last night." The scripture teaches us that the lion will lay down with the lamb. But this night, the lion lay down with a man. And it's interesting, the Lord could have just shut the lion's mouth. But much like the scene of the fiery furnace, the Lord sent his angel to keep Daniel company throughout the ordeal. Verse 23. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Daniel was saved for one reason, and that reason is he believed. Church, faith unlocks the miraculous. Amen? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 through 34 speaks of those. "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, and also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, or obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." Daniel had faith. Faith that God, who could deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace, could deliver him out of the mouths of lions. It's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel has no marks or wounds on his body after spending an entire night in the lion's den. But now it's about to get ugly, because justice was not yet complete. So Daniel chapter 6, verse 24. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones into pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. By law, the accusers and their families were now punished for their false accusations and deceptions. The families were killed so that there would be no one left to take revenge upon the king. And so the miracle was made unmistakable. The same lions who had been muzzled by God now revealed their hunger. And this was no coincidence. This was covenant. God's judgments are righteous and sure. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7 declares, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him." So now, in the aftermath of the lion's silence and the enemy's downfall, the truth is put on display, not just for Daniel, but for the entire empire to witness. What began as a private act of faith now became a public revelation of God's power. Picking up in verse 25 of chapter 6. Then King Darius wrote, "To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So now King Darius has seen the error of his ways, and no longer does he want to be God for a month. Now he declares that the God of heaven is the one true God, and he commands his kingdom to give the God of Daniel all glory, praise, and honor. You see, God could have kept Daniel out of the lion's den, but by delivering him through it, he received greater glory. And Daniel's story doesn't end in defeat, but in distinction. To verse 28, "So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. In the end, all the enemies of Daniel, along with their families, were thrown to the lions." Proverbs chapter 11, verse 8 says, "The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead." This is telling us that wickedness, or the wicked, take the place of the righteous. And the lions, they tore these people to shreds before they even got to the bottom of the den. So this verified and magnified the miracle of the lion sparing Daniel. It wasn't because the lions weren't hungry. It was because they had been muzzled. To Daniel's faithfulness, it brought favor from God. And faithfulness always bears fruit. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." And today, the same God who delivered Daniel from the lions is still able to deliver us from trials, from persecution, and ultimately from eternal judgment. Amen? But there are still lions that we must face today. One is the Lion of Judah, Jesus Christ, our Savior and King. And from Him, we have absolutely nothing to fear if we have accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. The other lion is the devil, who prowls like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." When we stand in judgment, the devil is there accusing us for all of our wrongdoings. He will demand our execution just as Daniel's accusers did, based on God's law. But we have an advocate who says, I find no fault in this one. This one belongs to me. Glory, hallelujah. And all we need to escape eternal death is to believe, just like Daniel. Believe Romans chapter 10, verse 9, which says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not might, you will be. There is no doubt about that promise, amen? Nor is there any doubt about this one, Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, hallelujah. So what does the book of Daniel have to teach us today? That fearless faith is forged in private, but it is proven in public. It teaches us that God honors his faithful. It teaches us that the lions of this world, no matter how loud, are no match for the Lion of Judah. Amen? Walk with him. Stand with him. Believe in him. Whether we're being attacked by the enemy or suffering because of our righteous stand for the Lord. Whether we're facing a fiery furnace, a virus, or the lion's den, we are still in the Lord's care. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And if we'll do that, God will work out all the details of our lives. And he will work them out for his divine purpose and for his glory. Amen? See, Daniel's story is more than history. It's a living prophecy for every believer. It reveals a divine pattern of endurance, promise, and reward. James chapter 1, verse 12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised those who love him. Daniel's life is not just a cute Sunday school tale. It's a timeless testimony. It reminds us that our God is not only the God of the past, but he is also the God of our present. What he did, he can still do. See, God may not always keep us out of the lion's den, but he will always walk with us through it. Faith doesn't mean the absence of trials. It means the power to overcome them. And that a fearless faith is contagious. It changes kings, it shifts kingdoms, and it softens the hardened hearts. So yes, like Daniel, you may be surrounded by those who scheme against you. Yes, like Daniel, you may face trials designed to crush your faith. But also, like Daniel, you serve a living God who still delivers, still speaks, and still restores. Psalm 34, 7 reminds us, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. And again, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 declares, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 seal the promise. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So church, let me ask you this morning, do you have fearless faith? Will you trust him when the lions roar? Will you trust him when the fire rises or when the verdict is unjust? Will you trust him when everything in you wants to bow down, but your spirit says to stand? Daniel believed and God delivered. And if you believe, he will be with you too. In the den, in the fire, in the silence, in the breakthrough. Because Daniel's God is your God. And our God is not done delivering yet. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story, this example of your servant Daniel who had fearless faith. Father, we take comfort in your promises, knowing that you are always with us and you will never forsake us. Father, it's my prayer that you would strengthen our faith today. That it would truly be a fearless faith. That no matter what happens in life, no matter what trial or tribulation we may face, that we will stand boldly, that we will remain faithful. Father, thank you today. And we lift this prayer up in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we sing our closing hymn this morning.